You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and big-time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Doctor, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You were up at 3:30 today going to the gym, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Mike McGivern has lost 85 pounds.
Well, that was a while,
and now has gotten his blood pressure. What was it this week?
110/68.
That's what I'm talking about.
My wife was very happy, smiling. Yeah. And he, you know, the nurse said, "Here are the numbers," and I looked at her and she was shaking her head. I said, "What?" She said, Before we walked in, if you said, "What's the perfect blood pressure for a guy my age?" I would have said 110/68. So that's good, right? Yeah. She gave me a B on the other test.
Good thing it wasn't 69. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she would have probably still said that was perfect.
That is perfect.
She likes me.
Fantastic. Way to go.
Hey, thank you for that. Before we get into the show, did you get a chance to watch any of the Brett Favre stuff last week?
You're a
Favre fan.
I'm a Favre fan. We have in studio with us one of my partners, Dr. Bindu Bamra, who's a sports medicine expert. He's been fellowship trained in sports medicine, been doing it forever, and he's spent a lot of years dealing with Kansas City Chiefs, and so he's going to be with us talking about NFL today. And we were kind of reminiscing about all the Brett Favre injuries and how he managed to play through all of these things. And, you know, people are still mad at Brett, and I understand that, but I also think people forget how horrible things were before. And
right. I agree with you.
He played every game.
Yes.
For the Packers.
And you know what? It was really a fun time to be a Packers fan.
It was.
And,
yeah,
and
it was exciting.
You guys are right. He really worked and played through injuries that the normal human being doesn't do.
Yeah, he broke his thumb, played through that in the throwing hand. He tore his collateral ligament.
And he didn't miss a game. I remember that they had a bye week, so he had 2 weeks to recover.
That's right.
And I know they had a nice brace on there, and he played again. So
yeah, it was incredible. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and it's cool to see everybody there and supporting him, and you know, and kind of getting on with it, because in the end, he's going in as a Packer, and as well he should.
And you're right. Can I ask you guys something with that kind of pain tolerance, that kind of level of being able to kind of just forget about the pain and play? That you see. You see a lot of different patients, so you know if somebody has a high tolerance of pain. His is off the chart.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of our experiences are that people who say they have a high pain threshold don't. And
when they took blood, it really hurt the other day.
I will tell you that I have a lot of tough construction worker type patients who think, oh, I'll be back to work the next week, and we have to having to fix a rotator cuff or do a shoulder surgery. And unfortunately, shoulder surgeries tend to be a little bit more painful. It's hard for people to sleep on their shoulder, for example, afterwards. And I tell these guys, especially tell their wives and their families, that they're going to feel like they get ran over by a truck sometimes, and they don't expect it. And they think they're going to be back right away.
Right.
Then they come back and say, "Doc, you were right." It takes a while to recover.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about pain thresholds is it's really hard to judge from one to another. There are actual objective tests that they do, and they've identified there are certain groups of people. There are some islanders we used to deal with in New Zealand who don't really have pain receptors. It's actually a dangerous condition where they literally don't feel any pain, and so they can be injured and they have no pain whatsoever, which means they're not alerted to injury. But guys like this, the NFL and leagues like that select people who can tolerate pain. We talk about that. If you have anybody who runs marathons or that sort, they by definition tolerate pain, or you can't do that.
Right.
You know, and I don't. Everybody hurts when you run a marathon. It's so they are selected out by the fact that they can do that. What I was joking about is a lot of people come in and say, "Oh, I have a really high pain threshold." It's like, how would you know that? You know, I don't know. So, but the bottom line is, he clearly. That's a very high pain threshold.
And obviously very mentally really tough, because he's able to just put that aside and continue to compete. So I don't know if that's, you know, from his childhood and his father being fairly tough on him as a football coach, or he loved the game so much that he didn't want to come out. And he saw what he did when Mikowski got hurt. He came in never ever to be taken out again. And I'm sure that was in the back of his mind.
I think there's always a little paranoia of the old Wally Pipp. You know, you get injured, you lose your job, you never get to play again sort of situation.
Well, he saw it happen.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, the guy in front of him was a star.
Right.
And Mikowski got hurt. He never saw the field again for the Packers. And so he used to talk about that all the time. He'd say, I saw that happen.
Doctor, can we talk a little bit about your bio? You were with the Kansas City Chiefs for how long?
Right. Well, I did a 1-year sports medicine fellowship when I was down in Kansas City. So I spent a whole year from 2001 to 2002. And then the next 9 years afterwards, I did help out with the team going to their training camp, which was at the time in River Falls, Wisconsin.
Right.
And also went to the NFL Combine every year. So I got to get a lot of good experiences with top-level athletes.
Is the bottom line is Dr. Bomber knows what a professional athlete looks like and how they move, and it's different, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. It's unbelievable amount of levels compared to the high school athlete. And speed, size, and just, ability to do certain things.
I asked Gary Ellerson one time, I said, what was it like to be a running back in the NFL? What was Monday like? What was Tuesday like? And he said, do you really want to know? I said, I do. He said, I want you to put on a football helmet and some shoulder pads, and I want you to take a football and get about 15 feet or 20 feet away from your garage door and run straight into it 20 times. As hard as you can, and then tell me how you're feeling on Monday and how you're feeling on Tuesday. I said, are you kidding? He said, no, I'm telling you, that's how it feels. And you think on Monday that you're never going to play. I'm never doing this again. And Tuesday sometimes is even worse. And then by Wednesday, you start feeling a little bit better. Thursday, you start thinking about the game. Friday, you're ready to go. And then it starts all over again. And that was an incredible, I mean, think about trying to run into your garage door 20 times and then how you're going to feel the next day.
Mike, I'd feel sorry for my garage door.
Yeah, no, really? Mine would be shot, but yours would be just fine. Trust me.
Garage door doesn't want a piece of me, Michael.
Yes, it does. As we continue our conversation with Dr. Bomra, you can go to mymosh.com to get any information. There's a really nice video of Dr. Bindu and some things that he is really involved in and his interests, and you can again go to mymosh.com for any of that information. When you were doing some work with the Kansas City Chiefs, does that make you a bigger NFL fan, or does that make you less of an NFL fan being around those guys?
I wouldn't say. I think I've always been a fan. You know, growing up in this state, you have to be a Packer fan.
Sure.
And it's just ingrained in your life. And unfortunately, I'm 45 years old, so I lived through the 70s and 80s. And then when Favre came, the Renaissance, Earl Mikowski, and then Favre. And so I've always been a big NFL fan. But having that experience, being on the sideline, seeing how that works, I guess, under the deep down inside of how everything works, gave me a bigger appreciation of a lot of different factors and facets of the game.
Are you surprised there's not more injuries with NFL players just because of the sheer speed and the collision aspect of that game?
Well, I think medicine has really improved, and you can only look at concussion and awareness and how helmets have changed and how pads have changed and how our diagnosis and our rehab has changed. For example, we'll talk about this a little later, but the NFL Combine, how many studies, MRIs and stuff that are done now to know about injuries ahead of time and treat them before a lot of these college athletes get on the NFL field.
Hey, I'm sorry, one last or two questions before we go to a break. In a movie like Friday Night Lights, high school football movie, and they take a young man at halftime and they're going to basically put an injection into his knee to try to get him to play. They don't do much of that anymore, correct? In big time football,
no. It's kind of in today's world doing cortisone shots, and I know, for example, Brett Favre. He had, you know, when he had that big game against the Falcons, and his ankle was all tore up.
Yeah,
I think he had a cortisone shot from what I remember prior to that game. We don't.
Is it
do that.
Well? Is it almost taboo to talk about that, Dr. McCarty?
Sort of. The reality of it is that local anesthetic injections are still used frequently for these things. That's true. I mean, if you go to a Big Ten football team and you see a guy who ripped up his ankle, a lot of times they'll shoot it up in three different spots. I know this for a fact because I have patients who play, and you know, some of them have come and they've shadowed with me and talked to me about this, that's what they do. They say, sit down, and they give them three injections, and they're not cortisone. These are local anesthetic injections that numb it for, you know, a few hours. They say, go out there and have at it. And this is part of the culture, of football.
Sure. You bet.
But that has changed a lot, because in our locker room with the Chiefs, we would not give any. And it was really a taboo thing. We would not do it. And you know, I was there in 2001, and I know for the 70s and 80s that stuff was done
sure.
a lot. But things have changed a lot.
Do you know, and I think people have different reactions to that. When I had, before I had knee surgery, it was really bothering me. And he said, look, we're going to do this, and it could give you relief for a month, or it could be 2 days. Mine was 2 days.
Well, that's different, though. We're talking about her. I mean, when you're doing it in the office, we do that all the time. That's a totally different
okay.
thing. This is something to allow someone to get through a game. So typically what happens there is if there's no risk of further injury or the risk is very, very small, that's when this becomes an issue. When there's a risk of further injury, you're never going to do that. I mean, that would be malpractice.
Correct.
So the only times that they would really do that is when they don't believe that the injury is going to get worse. And that's at the discretion of the doctor. So you have to trust your team doctor
no
about
doubt.
That.
There is a little bit of a danger. I do remember, and I can't remember the player now, where they injected someone around a nerve, and they end up getting the nerve, and he end up couldn't play because his foot went numb and the motor function went out. So there is a risk of doing those type of things.
So you better be good at giving shots like we are.
Or just sitting in a studio talking about it. Let's get to a break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Dr. Bamra about the NFL camp and talking a little bit about what it's really like when you're part of that NFL camp. And I think we've got some great questions that we're going to get answered. And that's on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. This is Disclosure, brought to you by our special in-studio guest, Dr. Bindu Bamra. He is a Disclosure fan.
That's what he was listening to at the clubs last night.
Hey, we took that right off my my iPad or something. My kind of music right there.
Yeah, your Zune.
Yeah, I see it right there.
He bumped him off the Barry Manilow playlist.
I'm never going to live down the Barry Manilow
your
one.
Disc man. We
as long
your
as
disc
we
man.
Do this show, I'm going to have to take... Look, it was a good idea, Doctor.
Yes.
It was Doctor My Woman. You know that song by Barry Manilow? I was just trying to get Doctor songs.
None of
but
us
But I got
know.
Fired. Nobody knows
none
it.
Of us know that
yeah,
song.
That's all right. If you want more information on Dr. Bindu Bamra, go to mymosh.com and get a lot of information. It's a great website. Information on all the doctors. And Mosh certainly does a great job. And once you get to the website, make sure you've got 5 or 10 minutes because you're going to spend some time there. Some interesting stuff. Doctor, we want to talk a little bit about NFL training camps, and you've been a part of those. And I'm wondering, you know, they've kind of softened a little bit from back. And you had talked about the 70s and 80s, those, you know, 2 days at 5 hours apiece and just getting after it. And I think certainly for the better and trying to keep these guys healthy for when the real bullets start to fly and the real games start to get played. And when you were with the Kansas City Chiefs, their attitude as far as training camp, did they hit a lot? Was it real physical?
Yeah, so when I started in 2001, it was Dick Vermeil's first year. And he was certainly a coach from the old generation, old guard. So they were two-a-days hitting. They would have these so-called light days in what they say are called shells, which are like partial pads, yet they were still full blast on hitting. And then as it transitioned over to Herm Edwards, it definitely became a much more of a player-friendly a training camp. There were a lot less two-a-days, a lot less hitting. And, you know, the new rules, which I do believe is for the better. You know, things like, unfortunately, what happened to Corey Stringer and the heat stroke and
right.
that sort of thing, I think has really alerted a lot of us and a lot of the teams to you know, how to make things better for the players.
Yeah, and for those listening who don't remember that, you know, Corey Stringer was a lineman for the Vikings.
The Vikings, yep.
And he died of heat exhaustion from dehydration. And so this has brought a lot of awareness, hasn't it? Not only at the NFL level, but also at the college and high school level about, you know, what happens, what parameters should be set for making sure that the players are safe. And almost to the point of silliness in some ways, because they have certain days in high school where they're not allowed to be in pads, but it may be 68 degrees outside. So there's some tweaking that needs to be done to those rules, but the concept of why they're doing them is a good one.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the high school side. Most of the coaches I know have not had to adjust at all. They made those adjustments years ago, and because of participation more than anything, with their numbers dwindling, they wanted to make sure that they kept the kids that were there,
yep,
you know, healthy. Dr. Bindu, I watched Hard Knocks,
mm-hmm,
and I often wonder, you know, how that it's basically a reality show and how real it is. You know, you've been at these camps, and that show is kind of addicting, actually. You know, you watch it and you can't stop watching it. And I'm wondering, have you seen the show?
I've seen some of the episodes, and they were with the Chiefs one of the years. I was up there, so
and they certainly pick and choose what they're going to show.
Sure.
the viewer.
It's one of those things where it's Hollywood, so obviously the music, the drama, the scenery they put in, it's certainly more dramatic on TV than it is in real life. But there is a lot of reality there. There are a lot of things, you know. A lot of fans will go up and watch training camp and watch the practices, but what they don't realize is these guys are going waking up at 6 a.m. 7 a.m. going to class, basically, to learn plays, to learn what they're supposed to do, where they're supposed to be on every play, every call. They're sleeping in these college dorms with the worst mattresses possible. Some of these, back in the Cheese League days when we had five teams up in Wisconsin, were dorms without even air conditioning in the middle of August. So these poor players, a lot of these high-priced players, were in some of the worst conditions I can remember. You know, working such incredible hours and
right.
physical effort.
Wow.
Yeah, again, we're talking to Dr. Bindu Bamrah. He's a partner of mine at the Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital, specialist in sports medicine orthopedics. Really interesting stuff about that. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize how much classroom time there is for these players and how that is, for guys who play football or sports who don't like school, you better realize if you're going to the pro level, you're going to be in school, if nothing else, for your team, for your sport. And there's a lot of classroom and mental preparation, isn't there?
Oh, certainly. I mean, if you're a quarterback or even a linebacker, where you have to make sure you direct other players. You have to know what position, the difference between X, Y, slots, offensive linemen, switch coverages and all this stuff. It's
My wife and I, we were watching one of the John Gruden shows where he has a quarterback, and they were on the field and then into the classroom. And as he was talking, and he was saying to the quarterback, hey, I want you to go up and draw, you know, X, Z, 17, 14, and he just threw out a play. And my wife looked at me and said, what did he just say? And I said, that's one play. That's, you know, you're telling basically the line what they're doing, the receivers, who's the X, who's the Z, whatever receiver, what they're doing, the running backs, all in about, you know, an 8-second statement, if not less. And she said, boy, that's quarterbacks must be extremely smart. And I think that that's probably, she's onto something. When you look at some of these guys and how intelligent they are, they have to be to play that position.
Yeah, certainly. And it's almost like you have to learn a language. Kind of like when we're in medical school, we have to learn the medical language, the words that we use to communicate with each other. These guys got to learn the football language to communicate with each other as well.
Yeah, spider, why banana?
There it is.
Yeah.
No, the, why'd you say spider?
No, the real reason we learn the medical lingo is make it sound like we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Well done. You've done well with that.
No, thank you. Thank
you bet. Hey, when you talk to players like Gary and Leroy, guys that are on our station, and you talk about the difference from college to pro, the first thing that comes up is speed. They say, boy, the difference of speed when you get from the college level to the pro level, everybody is fast. I would assume that, especially that first year you were at the Kansas City Chiefs, is that what jumped off the page to you?
Well, speed and the size, because, you know, on Friday nights I would be covering a local, during my fellowship in Kansas City, I was doing a local high school team, And then on a Sunday, I was going on the Arrowhead Stadium on the sidelines watching these guys, and they were probably about twice the size and twice the speed. And how fast, and I'll be honest, I don't know how these coaches on the sidelines can even see anything or argue with the ref, because these guys are huge, and my view was blocked. But obviously, they know what they're looking for, and they know what they're doing.
Sure.
Yeah, but it's incredibly fast.
Yeah, it would be really helpful and instructive for most high school athletes to have that opportunity. Obviously, they don't usually get that chance, but to see what these people look like in real life is daunting. I mean, they just don't look like normal people. They really don't. I mean, they do sometimes after they're playing, but when they're playing, they don't. And one of my guys plays for the Texans, and he is just enormous. And you can't believe anyone could ever do anything against him. And he's a great player. He's a starter. He does a great job. But still, sometimes he gets burned, and you're like, how could anybody get past
this? He's an offensive lineman.
He is. Brandon Brooks. He's the nicest guy. Really, really bright kid. Well, he's not a kid. He's a man. But he's a terrific guy, and he's done a great job in the NFL. But you see him in person, and you think, I don't know how anybody could ever get past him.
Hey, before we get to a break, Dr. Benuk, let me ask you this for younger players that have a kind of a dream about playing at that level. What advice would you give those guys?
Well, I would say that one thing is never give up. You know, certain things you can't control, like your God-given talent, but you can control effort. And I realize that even the best players in the world get knocked down, maybe even get cut from a team. Get injured. You just got to make sure whatever life throws at you, make sure you have the right attitude and really, really work hard to achieve your goal.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on that, because one of the common themes that we see when we have this show and we talk to our athletes and we talk to our doctors that come in is the work part.
Yes.
Right?
So when you see
these guys on Sunday, you see these amazing plays, you don't see all the work that went in behind that, right?
Right. And every day.
And you see it in training camp.
Certainly. But I will tell you, the same thing comes true in our practice every day. We see patients. We think we do the same surgery on every patient, and some people recover a lot faster than others. And I truly believe part of it is how much motivation there is. Some people who really want to get better very, very fast.
Yeah, that's awesome. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, let's continue to discuss, if we can, the NFL training camp and the making of a roster. And I know that that we had a little bit of a discussion a few minutes prior to coming on the air, and you made a comment that I want to kind of talk more about. You said some of the guys that don't make the team athletically are right there compared to the guys that do. And there's a lot of things that go into who makes a roster and who doesn't. And I think that's really important that people understand, if a guy is there at the last cut and doesn't make it, it doesn't mean that he's not as good a football player as some of the guys who made it. There could be some other things in that as far as his attitude and where the team has kind of, you know, if there's a guy that was picked in the third round, probably going to look at him rather than a free agent, but there's not much difference in these guys athletically. And we'll discuss that on the other side of the break. Our special in-studio guest all day today for the full hour of the show, Dr. Bindu Bamra. You can check him out at mymosh.com. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. That's Clean Bandit, Rather Be, brought to you courtesy of our special in-studio guest, Dr. Bindu Bamra. Clean Bandit fan, huh?
Yeah,
me too. Never heard of him, I have to be honest. We quit laughing. Dr. Brian, you haven't heard about him either.
Oh, I'm all over it, man.
You're all over Clean Bandit.
Anything before 1989, I know it.
Yeah, there you go.
80s was a good time, though.
Yeah, was it?
Good music. 80s had good music.
Absolutely.
I thought 70s was pretty good, but I was young, thin, and good looking back then, so I don't want to hear about it. Hey, we are talking with Dr. Bamra a lot about NFL training camps. They're right around the corner, and he spent a number of years with the Kansas City Chiefs. During the break, we were talking about Priest Holmes a little bit, and You just this guy was a beast. He was just a special football player.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just remember he was like the first year I was there, they brought him in, and I just remember seeing him and what a physical specimen he was, and then watching him run. He was just short and just pure muscle, and when he got going, he was just impossible to stop.
It's the incredible thing on field level is how they change direction.
Yeah,
I mean, like, you can't believe they're like in one spot 1 second, they're 6 feet to the left of that spot another second, and they're 240 pounds, and they're right. Running like.
And the thing is, with Priest Holmes, he was so short, and he had this massive offensive line. The Chiefs at the time had this incredible offensive line, probably one of the best ones in the league. And you couldn't see him coming out, and when he's coming through the hole and he's at full speed, I don't know how you could tackle him. You know.
Well, some guys make comments about cornerbacks that don't like to come up and hit. I wouldn't have wanted to come up and hit him.
Sure.
You know, you're a 180-pound cornerback, and he's got a full head of steam.
What are you, Terrell Buckley?
Maybe I am. Maybe I am. T-Buck. Yes, I am.
You could have Priest Holmes drag you down the field for a few.
T-Buck is still cashing checks. I'm sure of it. Hey, when you were at camp, did you have a feeling guys that were going to probably make the roster, guys that didn't? And I know that Kansas City, the Chiefs have a great reputation treating people with a lot of respect and treating not only their team but everybody in the front office really, really well. But I'm wondering if you guys as a staff had an idea who would make the team and who wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the top draft picks, you know, they paid a little extra special attention to them. And, you know, the practices were designed maybe to them a little bit. So certainly, you know, each roster, they bring in 90 to 100 players initially. And a lot of people know that a lot of these players aren't going to be with the team. Certainly they knew who the favorites were. You knew who was probably going to be on the team or find a way to keep them through different methods.
So were there times that you felt like, you know, you did something as a medical staff that helped a guy make the roster? You know, a guy that was banged up and you were able to help him?
Well, there were certain times. Well, I think more the medical staff was more designed for not really, like, for example, a fracture or dislocation, but more when people had aches, pains, tendonitis sort of things, and the treatment that we would provide. Afterwards.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about that, right? I mean, for those listening, if you're, you know, on the cut line, you're kind of close. If you're having a tendonitis in your knee or you have a problem that could be slowing you down even a little bit, that could be the difference between an NFL career and going back to bagging groceries.
Well, and the thing, interesting you say that, because there are a lot of players that would not tell us if they were on the fringe or if they were a free agent, they wouldn't tell us that their knee was hurting because they were afraid if they said anything, they'd be cut, get an injury settlement, or they wouldn't make the team. You know, if you're on the fringe and you're hurt, a lot of times the team won't keep you on just because they don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I know we run into this. A lot of us take care of the Milwaukee Wave here as well. And we always talk to them and explain to them that we're on the same team. So in that environment, that's true. If they have a problem, they can come to us and we'll help them. You know, we're there to help them be better. And so if they're on that margin. Now, obviously, the level, you know, in the compensation and everything else, the business is not nearly the same. But, you know, those guys really need to be able to come to you and say, hey, I've got this problem. Can you help me with
it? Right. And it varies very much in the NFL. It's partly because of state laws. But as physicians with the Chiefs, we were not team employees. We were not a function of the team. We were independent medical professionals, you know, treating the patients how they should be treated, not treating them for the team.
Did you think some of the players thought, and I don't know if you did you talk to the coaching staff? Did you talk to the general manager about certain players and this is what I see, this is what he's told me, and this is what I think's going on?
Certainly, every week, the head team physician, who was my fellowship instructor, would have a meeting with the head coach and with the general manager. They would discuss injuries. This is all training camp and throughout the entire season. You know, when they designed at the time, they had the injury list with the probable, doubtful. They've changed that a little bit now. But we, you know, we'd have to go through each player and see what they should be listed as.
You know, some teams, I think, play games with that list, don't you?
I think the Patriots play a lot.
I guess they do. That's where I was going, but I didn't want to name the Patriots.
Who would name the Patriots?
Yeah, right. Well, you know what?
The Patriots.
Yeah, check. how much yard do you have in that football, and then we'll talk about those.
So this kind of thing comes back to the high school level, right? Because a lot of us are covering high school football all fall, just starting now.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, you're a coach, you're a player, you're a parent, you have a kid who's dinged up or you're not sure, you know, make sure you use your medical professionals.
Really
right?
Important.
We have our athletic trainers who are phenomenal resources through Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine. They're at all these schools there to help the players. So make sure that the coaches and the parents and the players know that they should go to the trainer and get help if they're having an issue, because that's what we're there for. We're not there to cut you. We're not there to make your life miserable. We're there to help you get better.
Is it harder with probably fathers or mothers, parents that are in the athletes here saying, no, you're fine. We got a big game on Friday. We've got a big game on Friday, and you got to make sure, don't tell anybody that you're dinged up a little bit so that you're able to play. Do you see that problem?
I don't see it as much, because I see a great majority of the time it's the mother who brings the athlete in. So they don't tend to say that as much as maybe a father would.
I will say, though, that it's a problem because it's hard to know as the parent. I mean, I'm a parent. I think, well, all of us here are parents. It's hard to know sometimes when you need to bring them in. But when it's affecting performance, you see the child limping or they're asking for a lot of ibuprofen or a lot of Tylenol. What we're trying to communicate is it's better to bring them in and find out the truth and get on with it and
right.
get help with it than it is to bury your head in the sand and hope for the best. And we run into this a lot with gymnastics teams. You know, a lot of these kids in our area are nationally ranked gymnasts. They're really elite gymnasts. And the same thing with other sports, soccer players and everything else. And they need to know if they come, they're going to get an answer. They're going to get a diagnosis. They're going to get treatment. And they're better off doing that than they are
And
ignoring it.
On several occasions, when they come in, we tell them, look, your knee is fine. You're not going to do any damage. And just having that confidence and knowing that I'm going to be fine, I'm not going to regret this 10 years from now, and just to know that I can keep doing the sport I'm doing and not regret it later.
My son was
a huge point.
Huge
excellent point.
My son was a senior at Maranatha Baptist Bible College playing basketball, and he was then dating a girl named Kiara, who's now his wife, and she was sitting in front of me talking to my wife during warm-ups, and Matthew was limping during warm-ups. And I said, the game hasn't even started. He's limping? What's going on? Her head snapped back and said, you know, he tweaked his ankle last game. And I said, no, I didn't know. She goes, I know, because he didn't want to tell you.
Yeah.
And I thought, ooh, that was kind of rough. And I didn't know that. And he did talk to the trainer a little bit.
I tweaked my ankle last week, and I didn't tell you.
Yeah, you better not, because I'm going to tell you, get in studio, put some dirt on it, sir, and you're fine. Let's get to a break. Our special in-studio guest, Dr. Bindu Bamra from MyMosh.com. If you want to get more information, make sure you go to MyMosh.com on Dr. Bindu. On the other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. Upcoming NFL season is right around the corner, and we'll talk to Dr. Bindu about some things that he has done to help some patients get back and stay in the game, and we'll do that. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. We're also going to talk a little bit about PRP injections, platelet-rich plasma injections, and some of the newer treatments we're offering down at Mosh and through the sports med program.
That's awesome.
Stay tuned.
All of that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. That is Odessa, All We Need. Again, brought to you by our special guest, Dr. Bindu Bamra. Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. He's brought some different music to us this week.
He's got a disco ball in the OR.
He's got, you know what? The leisure suit gave him away, man. That gave him away. Hey, real quickly, you Brookfield Central, you work with?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Jed Kennedy and that staff? And,
yes.
And, you know, as a high school basketball coach, most of our players think that they're going to the NBA. And I think that, you know, you have a great perspective on this, and certainly that's not the case. And these players have to understand, and I think they need to enjoy their high school time as right. they compete.
Right. Certainly, you know, you can gain a lot from playing sports and being competitive, but to be unrealistic is not going to be beneficial. So, you know, make sure that, you know, you do what you're supposed to do, pay attention, but also pay attention in school, keep your body healthy. You got a lot of years ahead of you to make sure that you are going to be productive in whatever you end up doing.
Yeah, most of us make our living with our brains in the end. And that's true even for the pro athlete. Their careers are generally very short, and most of them are really bright guys. So if you want to do that, make sure you're being realistic, as Dr. Bamra mentioned. You know, if you want to play in the NBA, look at the number of guys under 6 feet and think about the odds of that happening.
Right.
Not very high. So it doesn't mean it's impossible, but it certainly would take a lot of luck.
Yeah, you
a lot of hard work.
Yeah, hey, a lot of speaking of that, there are some different things going on in your business that we wanted to touch on, and we've only got a few minutes, so I want to get to that.
Yeah, well, I wanted to highlight some of the things Dr. Bamra does. You know, so he looks after a lot of knee and shoulder injuries, and also, of course, ankle, elbow injuries, anything sports med related. You really look after, correct?
Yes.
And one of the things we wanted to talk about is something that's a hot topic these days, is platelet-rich plasma injections. What can you, or PRP injections? You hear about this now sometimes on the news. You hear about it on ESPN, various athletes having it. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, you know, you'll certainly read about it on certain athletes getting these injections. And it's an attempt to have tendon or ligament healing without doing surgery. So what PRP really is where we take the patient's blood in a syringe and actually centrifuge it down. There are probably different methods of doing it, and there's certainly different techniques involved. But by spinning it down, we remove the red blood cells from the fluid, and then we'll re-inject the healing proteins and other factors that are still in the blood to help encourage healing of the certain area we're injecting.
So if I understand what you're saying, so you're actually taking the patient's own blood, right? And you're taking, by spinning it down, you're basically using a centrifuge to separate the layers. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the red blood cells are heavier, so they go to the bottom.
Correct.
And then the platelet layer, Mike, is a layer filled with the platelets in your blood that are the things that cause clotting and healing. And they're filled with growth factors. They're just packed with them. And I know this. I used to do cartilage research when I was in college, and we used to try to get rid of them because they were so filled with these factors they would interfere with studies.
Right.
In this case, we're actually using that layer to inject in the area to promote healing.
So I've found it to be pretty effective in tennis elbow, which we know is called lateral epicondylitis, which now we know is not truly an inflammation. It's truly micro tears of a certain tendon in your elbow. So the idea of injecting the healing factors is to help heal these micro tears.
Did you ever, 20 years ago when you were doing this, did you ever think we'd get to a point where we'd be talking about something like this?
You know, I would say yes, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, and I think the truth is we were learning at that point when we started in medical school and then started in training. We were learning about the biology of healing a lot. And I think the reason we were learning that is that these things were sort of in the back burner. And believe me, this is just the beginning, right? This is just the tip of the iceberg of the next phase of our careers and our profession will be biologic modification.
Yeah. So Brian and I both have, you know, a unique perspective because both our parents are physicians. And when they went through medical school, they didn't have the understanding of molecular biology and the science that we did when we even learned, which was 20 years ago. So we knew the things like genetic modifications and all these other type of techniques were coming because I would talk to my parents about it. They never heard of this stuff.
So yeah, you know,
very fast.
Molecular biology is the study of how DNA works in your cells and how you can turn on different genes and activate various processes. And again, we've learned over the last 20 years, you know, we stay up on these things, of course. We've learned so much about how gene expression works, and this is where the whole stem cell research comes in and how critical that will be in terms of moving us to the next level. So when I have people shadow me like I did last week, we had a couple students shadowing with me. I talked to them about the importance of understanding that the next phase of what we do will be based on the cell. It'll be based on making these, like an ACL or a rotator cuff, heal in a month or a week instead of 3 to 4 to 6 to 9 months. We'll be modifying that. And that's so exciting. And this PRP is just the very beginning of this.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy, that's really interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It just is. In your world, I mean, When you go home, you still talk medicine with your family?
Sometimes, certainly. Yeah, you bounce off patients. Yeah. You know, certain, you know, obviously different fields. My father and mother are in a completely different field than I am in, but, and my sister is also a physician. But
wow.
There are a lot of times I'll ask my sister, what antibiotic do I need to give for this patient? So.
Yeah, that's awesome. You can get more information on Dr. Bindu Bamra, mymosh.com, and man, just one of the good guys. Anybody who says Paul Molitor and Brett Favre, two of his favorite athletes.
Yeah, that's a winner.
That is totally a winner. Hey, what's going on? Next week, Dr. Bill Pennington's coming in.
Yep.
I'm excited for that one.
Oh, that's going to be great. You know, every week we have a new expert come in, and Dr. Pennington is a renowned shoulder and sports med expert. He was one of the really driving forces for Midwest Orthopedic Specialty Hospital, and we're really excited to have him in studio next week.
High school football coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's close.
Yeah. Next week we'll be talking all about shoulder injuries. Very appropriate.
Yeah, no doubt. In fact, I think camp opens up here in a week or so, and when Brookfield East plays Brookfield Central, you two guys are opposite sidelines. Who's going to win that game?
Well, we actually put on the sumo wrestling things, and we go at halftime.
Yeah,
so.
You guys are just fans of health, right?
We are.
Exactly.
We're fans of healthy players. That's what we're there for.
Dr. Bamra, it's good to see you again.
Yep, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Bindu. Great job. Yeah.
Still a Chiefs fan?
Packers first.
Attaboy. So, thanks for listening to today. The Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. Again, you can go to mymosh.com to get more information. We'll talk to you next week. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.